Okay.
See, yeah, what the different connections are that that a man by the name of Ringler is going on about. I think I think it's the same cat, but I'm not exactly sure. It's been a while since I've gone through this.
Okay, well, this is June the 4th, 2006. If you hear it any other time, of course, it's an archive. Slick Willie the Antichrist, the name of today's program with JT from the Hip. And that was our introduction for the archive there. JT?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. And sorry we haven't been with you for the last couple of weeks, folks. It's been the Pilgrim's fault, not JT's. Pilgrim was out doing his biker thing for a couple of weeks. So JT's been chomping at the bit to get back here, I suppose, huh? JT?
Yeah, my bit is thoroughly chomped.
Okay. All right, well, I'm going to let you fly.
Okay, bro.
You want to take a break in an hour?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I'll get out of your way.
All right.
Bye.
Well, good morning again, brothers and sisters. Welcome to From the Hip. My name is JT. I'm your host. And today's title for today's message is Slick Willie the Antichrist? Question mark. Now, there is a different, well, he would call himself a ministry, or an outreach, excuse me, out of Las Vegas is when I sent for this information, saw a strange ad in the newspaper that I should have kept, but the ad in the paper was very strange, saying something about information regarding the Antichrist or the end times or something along those lines. It was so intriguing, and the information it said was free. So I figured, why not? Let's give this guy a shake. You know, that's one of the things I like about Pilgrim and the Remnant Radio program is that we'll hear you out. You know, everybody gets a chance here to spew, and we're going to see what the correlation between Antichrist and Bill Clinton is. And this is very interesting because it goes on into some of the New World Order type events, you know, the United Nations, things like this, and here at 2006, apparently the Slick Willie's got his hands in that stuff pretty deep, and his wife, in fact, has been gossiped about possibly running for president, such and such. One woman told me years ago, a couple years ago, that she had heard a prophecy that the country would be destroyed by a woman, which was very interesting. And, of course, the first woman that came to my mind was Hillary Rodham Clinton. Rodham. I don't know. I personally would have changed the name Rodham before I ran for office of any kind. So let's take a look at what this gent has to say. The name of his outreach is TVF. Big T, little V, big F. Outreach, P.O. Box 42002, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89116. We'll go over that address one more time at the end of the program in case anybody wants to contact this gent and see if he might be able to go into further detail or if he's got any more new light, as they say. This is pretty deep what he goes into, so we're gonna take a look at it. He begins, "There are two beasts." The Bible gives us even more details concerning the rise of the beast, whose number is 666. Another or lesser beast will rise just after the first beast has made his big first stage rise. Revelation 13:11-15 says, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb," meaning Christian-like, dragon, and he exercised all the power, being jurisdiction and authority, over the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. In other words, the other beast holds the same job as the first beast, or the Antichrist, just held. Then the other beast turns around and forces the entire world to worship the first beast. Remember, I'm still quoting the article here. I will let you know when it is my own voice on these matters. Until then, just understand that everything I'm reading, when I say in other words, I'm still reading from the script, okay? He continues, in other words, the other beast holds the same job the first beast or Antichrist just held. Then the other beast turns around and forces the entire world to worship the first beast. Now, when we go to break, or about 15 minutes or 10 minutes before the end of the second hour of the program, we'll go ahead and receive some phone calls if anybody has anything to say. He continues, although the first beast had just previously reigned in part, he does not attain full global power until sometime after the second beast has risen. And here he says, it looks like the second beast has risen. Pre-election 2004. Hypothetically speaking, if George Bush is the other beast mentioned in Revelation 13:11, who looks like a lamb or Christian, but speaks deceitfully like a dragon, and if William Clinton is the, quote, beast of Revelation 13, whose name adds up to 666 in the Hebrew alphabet, the following scenario is something to consider. Now, here he's saying that hypothetically, we're going to look at Slick Willie Clinton as the beast of Revelation 13 because his name adds up in Hebrew to 666. We're going to show you that in a little bit, which means that they're implying that George Bush Jr. would be the other beast who follows the first one and exercises the authority but tells everybody to worship him. So let's continue. This is great stuff. Okay, here we go. We all know the unusual, quote, circumstances of Bush's election to president. And we all know the, quote, profound events that quickly began to happen, not the least of which was the horror of 9/11. Then soon followed the war in Afghanistan, followed quickly by the global terror war, then one of the main agendas, the war on Iraq, which is all biblical. See Revelation 17 and 18. So we see that since the election of Bush, the entire world has been thrown into a, quote, global terror war, limiting the freedom of all citizens of the world. So, he continues, if this, quote, suggested scenario is accurate, what is the likely turn of events that we may expect concerning Bush's run for a second presidential term? What could happen to keep him in office after all? Postscript. The election is over now. The previous paragraphs were written before the election. President Bush has won his second term as president in a historic victory. He didn't even need a, quote, terror attack or, quote, weapons found to pull this off after all. All the while, the, quote, powers that be claim it was the voters who did it. But it is done. And President George W. Bush now has total power to finish his global plan. Watch for William Clinton to reappear big time soon. Some are even suggesting that he may be the next, quote, Secretary General of the United Nations. Now, let me take a quick look here before I continue. This envelope is dated December of 2004. Okay? This envelope that I received this in from TVF Outreach is dated December 16th, 2004. Now that was a while back. And here he is saying, watch for William Clinton to reappear big time soon. Some are even suggesting that he may be the next, quote, Secretary General of the United Nations. I find it very interesting this morning that Pilgrim asked me, without having any knowledge whatsoever, what I was about to get into, if Slick Willie would become the next Secretary of the United Nations. Let's continue. The name of the beast. In Revelation 13:18, the original Greek letters XES equals 666. XES is not a word. It is the actual letters of the Greek alphabet denoting the numbers 600, which is X, 60, which is E, and 6, which is S. So we know that God used the ancient alphabetical numbering system used in all ancient alphabets, including Roman and Hebrew, to count the number of the beast. See Encyclopedia, Numerals, and Greek Hebrew Lexicons. Profoundly, the Hebrew alphabet, God's original language of the Bible, is the only alphabet God inspired and actually wrote letter by letter in the Bible. In Psalms 119, in the sectional headings. It is in the Hebrew alphabet the name of the beast is to be counted. Enclosed is the Hebrew alphabet numbering chart. It is very simple to use. Read directions carefully. Even though God kept it a mystery for almost 2,000 years, he made it so simple that when there is not much time, even a child will be able to easily see it. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. His number is 666. Revelation 13:18. The Hebrew alphabet numbering system is actually quite similar to or obviously a foundation for numbering systems or Greek afterwards. Here you have Alf, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, He, Vav, Zayin, Chaf, and it continues on down for 22 numbers, but you've got a couple of different, three of the numbers have different spellings or sounds to their, so you've actually got about 25, it looks like here. Possibly, but he's numbered them as 22, three of them having two sounds. So you go down the line, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then to 10. And then from 10, you go Kaf, which is 20, Nen, which is 30, Nun, which is 50, and then you go on to 60, all the way to 100. So you get into the tens, and then you get into the hundreds, 100, 200, 300, and 400. So, let's take a look. Hebrew does not have, quote, vowels to add up English names in the Hebrew alphabet. To add up English names, omit all vowels, except where the letter I has the ya sound, as in William or Miriam. See Dictionary Mary. In this case, in Hebrew, the I is actually the consonant Y, or Yod, or Y-O-W-D. So William would not, or excuse me, would be spelled W-L-L-Y-M, not W-L-L-M. Otherwise, just match the English consonant with the Hebrew consonant equivalent. Then add up the number value. Note the two T's. Now, here we've got two T's. Example, cat, the T is teth, or cent, C-N-T, is like tav. So there's two types of T's here. One is kind of a different sound, a T-H, and one is a T. You will need to add both first and last name together. First name, W-L-L-Y-M. Remember, we're looking at the Hebrew numerical value of the name William Clinton, as it would be spelled in Hebrew, which is without vowels except for the letter I when it sounds like Y, as in William or Miriam. So we have first name W-L-L-Y-M for William, and the last name K-L-N-T-N, Clinton. And you can actually pronounce them this way, which is very odd. When you look at it, it looks like William and it looks like Clinton. Now, let's take a look and see what else he has here that he speaks about Mystery Babylon. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Revelation 18:6. Some believe Revelation 17 and 18 is referring to two Babylons involving a double prophecy. One being Mystery Babylon, which some believe is the city of Rome. But this could not be, as has been detailed in our article, The Great Tribulation, that I haven't seen yet. Mystery Babylon is the spirit of Babylon influencing the world. I know that the brother, what's his name, really has a great three DVD sermon on this. Hagee, John Hagee. I would highly recommend that you watch this. It's all about what's going on now. The other Babylon, being literal Babylon, that is the actual city of ancient Babylon, ruled by Nebuchadnezzar, who was the one who originally took, quote, Israel captive and destroyed Jerusalem 2,500 years ago. God prophesied that this Babylon would one day be completely destroyed. The Apostle John in Revelation 18 refers to this Old Testament prophecy as being fulfilled in the Great Tribulation. It is important to know that the city of Baghdad, Iraq, sits in virtually the same location as ancient Babylon, 5 to 100 kilometers from, and there may be weapons hid there. Please note carefully, the President of the United States has developed troops and military hardware, deployed troops and military hardware to the Persian Gulf aimed at Iraq, along with U.S. allied troops, etc. Ever-increasing military escalation, including airstrikes, etc., is going on. Obviously, he's speaking of the previous Baghdad destruction. Could this action be the beginning of the fulfillment of Revelation 17:12-17, concerning the ten horns and kings giving their power and strength to the beast to destroy Babylon? And he writes in the side here, it's already in process. Daniel 8, 9 through 11, and 11, 31, says that the Antichrist would be the one who would destroy Jerusalem, the temple, and the sacrifices. This is called the Abomination of Desolation. This happened in 70 AD. Titus was the one who did this. Furthermore, Titus brought his, quote, idols into the temple and polluted the sanctuary. When he died young while emperor of Rome, his brother Domitian was suspected of killing him. Revelation 13, 3-5 says the beast, Titus, with the deadly wound, would be healed. He would come back to life again at the, quote, end time, and rule the world for the last 3.5 years of the seven that split in 70 AD. This is what is meant by the beast's deadly wound was healed. I hope you're all still with us. He moves along rather quickly and covers a lot of subjects, so let's try to stay hot on it. The brother continues, God has certainly blessed us here in America, but the fact still remains that it was people from nations which were part of the ancient Roman Empire, England, Italy, Spain, etc., who sailed across the sea and erected America the Great. Columbus was, in fact, born in Italy. The beast, whose name equals 666 in the Hebrew alphabet, is the reborn Emperor Titus, see Revelation 17. An ex-president's name equals 666 in the enclosed Hebrew alphabet numbering chart. For centuries, we have been taught many things, but God said these prophecies would be sealed and not fully understood until the time of the end. We are in that time. Here we have the article, The Great Tribulation. The Great Tribulation, according to Matthew 24, 29 through 30, is yet to be fulfilled at the end of this age, immediately preceding the return of Jesus Christ to the earth to destroy the wicked and bring his righteous thousand-year kingdom on earth. According to the prophecy in Daniel 9, 24 through 27, concerning the 70 weeks, or 77-year periods, which God determined upon the Jews and the holy city Jerusalem to make an end of sins and anoint the most holy, the 70 weeks would go on uninterrupted until Jerusalem and the temple would be destroyed in the midst of the last 7 years of the 70 weeks. This was fulfilled in 70 AD. Even as Jesus, quoting from Daniel, prophesied in Matthew 24 and Luke 21. Since the Jews at that point were separated from Jerusalem and the temple, the Jewish prophetic 70-week time clock stopped right in the midst of the last 7 years, leaving yet 3.5 years on the Jewish prophetic time clock to be fulfilled at the end of this age. See Daniel 12 and Revelation 13. This is called the Great Tribulation. The book of the Revelation and the prophet Daniel clearly declares that this time will last 3.5 years. Revelation 13, Revelation 11, 12, Daniel 12, and 7. According to Isaiah 29:10 and Romans 11, 8, 15 and 25, during this mysterious 2,000-year time gap, God casts Israel into a deep spiritual sleep while he visits the Gentiles and takes out of them a people for his name. Acts 15, 14 through 16. After the fullness of the Gentiles have come in, also called the rapture, God turns back to the Jews, opens their spiritual eyes, and finishes the last 3.5 years of the Jewish prophetic time clock. ending with the destruction of the wicked ones of the world and the setting up of his kingdom. Notice that Jesus preached to the Jews for virtually 3.5 years before they rejected and crucified him. This time, in the Great Tribulation, Jesus goes back and calls them again for 3.5 years, but this time they receive him. In 1967, though their spiritual eyes still remained closed, the Jews did get back the holy city, Jerusalem. Here's another interesting observation. Jesus told the Jews they were to forgive others 70 times 7. This is the same amount of time God determined to draw and forgive Israel, the 70 weeks of Daniel, 70 times 7. In 70 AD, Titus destroyed Jerusalem and their temple. This was the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, Matthew 24:15. The Jews were then scattered into all nations, Luke 21:24. But before the last 3.5 years could be fulfilled, God would have to bring the Jews back again the second time into their own land. This was prophesied in Isaiah 11:11-12, etc., and was fulfilled in 1948. Since that time and before, the global stage has been being set in order for the world to be somewhat, though much more advanced, as it was in 70 AD. In 70 AD, it was a one-world pagan government. Roman Fourth Kingdom prophesied in Daniel 2:40-45 and 7:19-28, also Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, with 7 heads and 10 horns. Also, their, quote, temple having been destroyed and Jerusalem being trodden down, the Jews were in great distress. This is the scene we see taking shape in Israel at this present time. See Revelation 11:2. Now remember, folks, I'm quoting this. Remember, I received this from the gent in 2004, December 16th, 2004. So we need to remember that we are in 2006 right now. In, what are we in here, May? Or, yeah, I think we're in May, June, the beginning. Okay, we need not look for signs of the, quote, temple being rebuilt in order for the, quote, beast to pollute, as it already happened in 70 AD by Titus when he set in the temple of God, claiming to be God. See 2 Thessalonians 2:4. And even if they tried to build a temple, which they can't, it would not be the temple of God, for it was totally destroyed, showing that Jesus was the final sacrifice. Titus is the beast whose deadly wound is healed through cloning, and he is alive right now. I find that interesting. Revelation 21:22 says, "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." What we are to expect is Jerusalem being trodden down by the Gentiles, Revelation 11, which is where the scene left off in 70 AD. And at the same time, the revival of the pagan one-world government and the rise of the Roman Antichrist Titus, whose deadly wound is healed. Titus, who will have a different name that equals 666, will begin his last 42 months, or 3.5 years, to finish where he left off in 70 AD. Revelation 13:1-5. But the revival of the Roman Empire is not the city of Rome. It is reborn through the multinational European ten horns. horns that were initially of the ancient Roman Empire. It is the ten-horned nations that gave birth to America. Realizing this, we can better understand what the Apostle John meant when he said, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come. Even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." 1 John 2:18. And again in 1 John 4:3, "And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now is in the world." Titus was alive when the Apostle John wrote this. This is great stuff. I love it. I just wish that I had had time to hack it up, but we'll probably get into that later. But right now it's a very good read. The first, the 3.5 years of the last 7 years did happen in their time, ending with the abomination of desolation in 70 AD, right in the midst of the last 7 years, that being the middle, Daniel 9:27. This verse also shows that the temple would remain desolate until the consummation, meaning until the destruction of this evil world. Furthermore, we can better understand why the Apostle John said that the beast's deadly wound would be healed. Titus would come back to life through cloning at this end time in order to finish the last 3.5 years, 42 months. See Revelation 13:3-5. Now, I'm going to break in right here real quick. I don't know where this cloning thing's going or how they could clone Titus, but I suppose with DNA and DNA construction that would indeed be possible by digging him up. So let's see where he goes with this. But then how would that be Slick Willie? You know what I'm saying? Let's find out. That's my point. Okay. When Jesus told the Jews that after they would see the abomination of desolation, there would be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Matthew 24. The word shortened here is the Greek word kolobou. See Strong's Concordance Greek Lexicon section number 2856 and 2849. Its root comes from the Greek word kolazou, or meaning to dock, a place to receive ships between voyages, or to reserve for later infliction. This is interesting. Let's look. Except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened, meaning they shall dock. What he's implying here is that the time that the clock of this season would be stopped and then began again later. If the Jewish 70-week time clock had not stopped in 70 AD, it would have gone directly into the destruction of the world, abandoning this nearly 2,000-year age of grace where multitudes have been being saved, and leaving unfulfilled the prophecy stating that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. See Matthew 24. So if it wasn't shortened, or in Greek meaning docked, the time clock wasn't stopped like a ship would dock before in between voyages, then the prophecy of the gospel being preached in all the world to all the nations would not have been able to come to pass. So, who is the beast? We need not expect that the beast is to come out of the city of Rome, because the prophecy concerning the fourth and last world kingdom, or Reich, as they would probably say, which had legs of iron and 10 toes mixed with iron and miry clay, Daniel 2, would be partly broken, Roman Empire, and the kingdom would be divided. But it would be revived and come up strong again at the end time through the multinational 10 toes, the 10 kings, also referred to as the 10 horns. See Daniel 7, 19, Revelation 13. That's Daniel chapter 7 and chapter 19. The beast, which is empowered by the devil himself, is made up of seven heads and 10 horns. The seven heads are the seven fully authorized Roman emperors up until 70 AD. The 10 horns are the 10 European kingdoms that will reign with the beast at the end time. Revelation 17, 9 through 13. These 10 kings are the ones that will destroy at the end time that great city Babylon, which has reigned over all the kings of the earth from the beginning. This city is also called Mystery Babylon. Baghdad, Iraq, is virtually the same location as ancient Babylon, and we clearly see the superior nation, the super nations of the world preparing war against Iraq. The countdown to the Great Tribulation is upon us. Rome cannot be Mystery Babylon, for Rome is the beast that carried her, but was not her, and in fact hates her. Babylon is in Iraq. Now remember, there's two Babylons. There's Mystery Babylon and Ancient Babylon. Although John, concerning his vision of the beast that rises out of the sea in Revelation 13, is basically directing his focus on the fourth and last Roman world kingdom, that would be Roman in parentheses, with seven heads and 10 horns, John gives us a brief reminder of all four great world kingdoms prophesied in Daniel 2, empowered by this same beast, Satan himself. First kingdom, Babylon, Daniel 2, Revelation 13. Second kingdom, Media Persia. Third kingdom, Greece. Fourth kingdom, Rome. The one be reigning when Christ was born, which would be revived again in the last days. Revelation 13 and Revelation 17, Revelation 12, Daniel 2, Daniel 9. When Jesus Christ was born, the fourth and last world kingdom, or Roman, was in power, ruled consecutively by these seven heads. If you check Revelation 12, you will see that these seven heads were wearing seven crowns, showing that the Roman emperors, up until 70 AD, were the ones consecutively in power at that time. I notice he's taking this consecutively rather than congruently or all at once. However, if you check Revelation 13, referring to the end time Great Tribulation, you will find that the ten horns are the ones ruling and wearing the crowns. Concerning these ten kings, Daniel 2 says, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed." According to the encyclopedia, some scholars believed John was possibly exiled to Patmos by the Roman Emperor Domitian, but that other scholars believed it was earlier, that is, before 70 A.D. The Bible clearly supports before 70 A.D. See Revelation 17. 13, 10, and 11. The Roman Emperor Vespasian was the one who authorized his son Titus to destroy Jerusalem and the temple in 70 AD. Nero was the one who assigned Vespasian 3.5 years prior to go and quell the Jewish revolt, which he and Titus finished 3.5 years later in 70 AD after he became emperor. This is when the Jewish time clock stopped, leaving yet the 3.5 years of great tribulation to be fulfilled in these last days. The personified man of sin, called the Antichrist / Beast, comes up among the multinational ten horns, but comes from a nation stronger than the others, Daniel 7, 20 through 25. This man of sin is called the eighth world ruler, but he is actually of the seventh Roman Emperor Vespasian, and is literally the eighth ancient Roman Emperor Titus, Revelation 17. So, obviously this cloning thing is now taking a spiritual cloning trail. So, let's continue. Note carefully the description of the Antichrist, the eighth world ruler. He is called a little horn, meaning a young one, Daniel 7. He comes up among the ten horns, meaning they are currently in power, Daniel 7. He is different from the other horns and arises after these older ten horns were originally established, Daniel 7. However, he is stouter than all the others. The Hebrew word here is rab, R-A-B, meaning captain, chief, great, lord, or master. Also Daniel 7, 20. In other words, the Antichrist is the leader of a new and younger nation founded by the ten-toe European nations across the sea, as Revelation 13 states, but different from the others, and the greatest and strongest of all. The brother says here, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. The book of the Revelation goes on further to describe the dreadful events that are to take place during the last 3.5 years of this age, called the Great Tribulation. There is overwhelming evidence to believe this time is imminent. The Blessed Hope, Titus 2:13. This would be the New Testament book, Titus 2:13, not the Emperor Titus. The Blessed Hope, Titus 2:13. Regardless of how much one understands the details about the Great Tribulation and the coming of Jesus Christ, one thing is certain. All Christians, weak and strong, who have put their faith in Jesus Christ as the only Savior for mankind, have the promise from God's Word that He will keep us from that hour of temptation that shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. See Revelation 3, Luke 21, 1 Thessalonians 4, and chapter 5. The rapture. Luke 17 says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. The day that Noah entered into the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." Notice that the destruction does not happen until God takes His people out. When the angel told Lot he was going to destroy the city, he said, "Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither." That means, get out of here, I can't do anything until you're gone. Genesis 19. So likewise, concerning the great tribulation, God will take out all his people who have accepted the salvation offered freely through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ. This is what Christians call the rapture. You will find it described in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1 Corinthians 15. This has been a lot of information covered in relatively few words. If you have any questions or on specific points of end-time prophecy, please feel free to request by mail or leave your message at, get your pencils out, 702-453-3348. Remember, folks, I've never called that number, and it is at least about a year and a half old now. Be specific with your questions. Thank you, he says. So, this global coalition against terrorists fits the scenario of the Ten Horns, who really are the terrorists? Question mark. Who really are the terrorists? Pray for America and the whole world that people not be deceived. Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 24, verse 44. Human cloning alert. As we continue in the article sent by the brother, according to the Bible and qualified in the book of Jude, demons are the spirits of the offspring of the fallen angels' union with men, women, mentioned in Genesis 6. God created human life with the capability also of reproducing a human body that does not contain a soul or spirit through, for want of a better word, cloning. Jesus was righteously born through the process of placing the DNA of David into the eggshell of Mary without sperm to give Jesus a human body that did not have a soul or spirit in it, in order for the divine sinless person of Jesus to enter this world in a human body. This is proof of the virgin birth. He has written in the side. This is a very interesting slant here. Okay. Let's read that part again. Okay, this is what the brother says. Jesus was righteously born through the process of placing the DNA of David into the eggshell of Mary without sperm to give Jesus a human body that did not have a soul or spirit in it, in order for the divine sinless person of Jesus to enter this world in a human body to pay for our sins on the cross. Satan is wickedly using this similar process to make human bodies that do not have a soul or spirit in it in order to give the demons a body again. Some are here already, including the Antichrist. This helps explain the mystery of the baby boom. Please realize, he says, no one can change what God said will happen. Christians are not to physically fight the opposers of God. 2 Corinthians 10 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal of this physical world, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight." John 18. What does that all possible will be saved through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ and be able to escape all these things that shall come to pass. The brother continues, of course, in another slant. Church tax exempt status alert. This is another thing that a lot of people aren't exactly hip to. But we're going to take a quick look at this, and we're going to see how all of these things kind of tie in together here at the end. You're trying to understand how he's explaining everything into very spiritual terms. This is what they call a spiritualization. So some people, you know, they see this stuff and swear by it, you know. So I do recognize that there were in the Old Testament some people that were mirrors, if you will, of the coming Messiah. You know, through some of the stories, you can see the correlation, and that's how we understand more so the words of Christ, and that's how we came to relate oil with the Holy Spirit and water, and also most recently, what I have seen myself in the scriptures is that it was also related with the blood. I'll explain that to you another time. But here we have people in the Old Testament who looked like Christ by way of the story that's told about them. You know, they were like a predecessor. You know, the whole story. Let's see, what was it? Joseph, you know, was one of them. Isaac, actually, you know, with Abraham and Isaac. Moses, you know, we have a lot of people. Samson, these major stories that are correlations. Now, you see that these people were not Christ, okay, but these events took place as mirrors of what was to pass. So certainly, if the spirit of Antichrist, as is written in the Bible, existed in those days, he is going to try again and again to knock out the world. Okay? Satan is battling against God. Christ came to divide the evil from the righteous, so that all, you know, those who are his can be saved. But Satan wants to condemn the whole lot. So we're looking here if certainly from the time of Adam and Eve, Satan has been down here, and since that time he's been doing a great deal to try to destroy Christians, you know, very subtly, etc., and God's people from way back in the day. I mean, there was a great many people who swore that there were so many things that Hitler had to be the Antichrist. I mean, there were so many things that, you know, were just too blatantly obvious to him. Some people believe that Napoleon was. And I would plea the case that indeed, if you spiritualize this, that is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, if you are a spirit man, you will recognize that the people who are being used are puppets, okay? I mean, the people in office, the people in the church, you name it, don't recognize that they are puppets, because they have embraced this world, or they have not rejected it at a minimum. And the Bible says that he who is a friend of the world is an enemy with God. You know, so you cannot just get along here on this planet. You either fight against it, or you are fighting for it. So there's no in-betweens, and I would like to suggest that the spirit of Antichrist was indeed functioning through certain men in history, just as much as the Old Testament reflects our Savior, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon these different men, which in Hebrew they were also known as Mashach, or anointed, which is translated today as Messiah. So that's where the word Messiah or Mashiach came from. In Greek, it's known as Christos or Christ. So these were reflections of the Anointed One, the Lord of the Sabbath, the Lord of time, as Jesus said, that he was even in charge of time. Okay, but they were not. It was the same spirit of the Lord. Okay, so let's take a look at the church tax exempt status alert. United States of America is the best nation in the world for a Christian to be able to freely preach the entire Word of God, but not if you accept tax exempt status. Count down to 666. Christians should come out of tax exempt churches and be separate. These churches have been under contract with the secular government all along. Just meet in homes as the apostles did. Tax exempt status includes this. In order to receive tax exempt status, a church cannot be involved in the government or politics. It cannot support or oppose any political candidate. It cannot influence legislation or be influenced by non-exempt sources. In other words, they cannot do or preach anything the government forbids in order to receive government hush money. Does this sound like a church totally controlled by God? No. This has to be the reason why mainstream Christian churches seem to have no prophetical clue about the real beast, who he is, or where he rises from. When churches accept government hush money through tax-exempt status, they are actually turning off the light of God in this vital, prophetic, end-timed era. Jesus said, "Render to Caesar the things which be Caesar's," meaning in Greek, taxes, "and to God the things which be God's," Luke 20, 22-25. Please tell your preachers to refuse tax-exempt status from the government so the clear prophetic light of God can flow through the churches. The, quote, hush money is eternally not worth it. The dollar bill says, "In God we trust." This same government says the God of all religions are to be accepted. The dollar bill also has the occultic pyramid on it. That should tell us the God they trust. Jesus said the kingdom of God is not of this world. Folks, we're going to go to a break. It is 3 o'clock, top of the hour. We have one more hour left to go in the show. We welcome any calls in the last 10 minutes or so of the final hour. And if we could have a little bit of those good old good news blues, then we'll fade right into the next hour. My name is JT, and you are listening to From the Hip. Today's show is Slick Willie, the Antichrist? Question mark. So, can we get a little bit of those good news blues, my brother?
Thank you. the mess. There ain't no testimony without the test into every life. The storm's gonna come, I'll build your house on the rock. Christ Jesus, God's Son. Christ Jesus, God's Son. Yeah, there ain't no message without the mess. There ain't no testimony without the test into every life. The storm's gonna come, I'll build your house on the rock. Christ Jesus, God's Son. God's Son. Now don't be surprised if trouble comes to you. The devil tempted Jesus, he's gonna tempt you too. Discount it all joy and endure patiently. If you resist the devil's got to flee. Yeah, the devil's got to flee. Because there ain't no message without the mess. There ain't no testimony without the test into every life. The storm's gonna come, I'll build your house on the rock. Christ Jesus, God's Son. The Christ Jesus, God's Son. The test into every life. The storm's gonna come. I'll build your house on the rock. The Christ Jesus, God's Son. The Christ Jesus, God's Son. And trust in His word. Every promise is true. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. Stand on His word. Having done all, stand. And He'll lead you out with a strong right hand. The strong right hand. Because there ain't no message without the mess. There ain't no testimony without the test into every life. The storm's gonna come, I'll build your house on the rock. Christ Jesus, God's Son. The Christ Jesus, God's Son. Because there ain't no message without the mess. There ain't no testimony without the test into every life. The storm's gonna come, I'll build your house on the rock. Christ Jesus, God's Son. Christ Jesus, God's Son.
Now the possible Secretary of the United Nations is quite possibly Slick Willie. And if he gets in there, I can tell you right now, brothers, it hasn't happened yet, and I didn't know anything about it until I was asked the question this morning when we came on the program. I was asked the question by Pilgrim if I thought that he would make it in there. I didn't really keep up with that. I try not to watch the news. You know, I have a general idea what's going on, and I just try to focus on salvation, and when I die, I die, you know? I mean, I would rather be out there with sandwiched in between two pieces of plywood with signs that say the end is nigh, and get shot for it, to be honest with you. I mean, I don't care. You know, when they start hunting Christians, they're going to find me, you know, because I'm going to be up in the mess. I'm not going to worry about digging a hole in the floor of my basement and saving a ton of whatnot. You know, I'm gone. I'm gone. You know, I'm either in a rapture and I'm taken, or they're going to hack me up and bury me beside Jimmy Hoffa. I don't care, you know, but one thing I have to do is I have to go out there. I have to be a soldier. I have to fight, and I have to take the bullet. You know, this is the age of grace, but at the same time, the Lord is calling us to be point men. Point men, meaning you're on point. You're the guy in the front out there. And most of the time that means it's bullet time, okay? You're the guy who's going to get shot. And there's a special place, brothers and sisters, for those who die a violent death in the Lord's service. It's called martyrdom. And maybe not everyone is called to that. And some people are, some people are not. I would suggest that if you are not called to martyrdom, and you will know if you're called, because he will probably show you. I would imagine. I mean, some of us, you know, he has. I have been called to be point man. So I can't say that he will or will not, but I would imagine that he probably talks to most of us the same way. So, but if you have not been called, I would beseech you at a minimum to recognize that it is still death that he requires of you, and it will be death of yourself. And it's not going to be any easier, okay? So you might as well get used to physical death and the idea of it, and receiving it as much as getting used to the idea of spiritual death and rebirth, okay, because it is going to be just as hard to get a grip on. The Bible warns, the brother continues, that the one world government of the Antichrist would be so deceptive as to deceive, if possible, the very elect. This global faceless terror war looks sadly similar to when some of the early American soldiers dressed up like Indians, burnt down white settlements, then blamed it on the Indians in order to take over America. Think about it. Who ultimately stands to gain? Liberty Lost, a summary compiled by F. Gregory Anderson. There are powerful men seeking to destroy the basic foundations of our liberty. They have been quite successful in their plans so far. They are disrupting the family, corrupting our governments, destroying morality, and attacking religious faith and religious freedom. Their objective is to eliminate liberty, economic, political, and religious, and establish in its place the most widespread and complete totalitarian system ever to oppress mankind. These men have been working under such perfect disguise that many Americans have not been able to recognize them or their methods. Freeman Digest, May 1978, page 53. They scheme and plan, manipulate and destroy. They use crime and murder, lies and fear. They are not bound by law, for they control most of the judgment seats. With enough study, it is possible to learn the goals of these power brokers from their own documents. Their goal is worldwide control with themselves in charge. They fully intend to control all governments, control the money, control the military, control the courts, destroy all religions except those that actually teach evil rather than good, and control access to food and medicine. They have a large measure of control over many of these things now. If they gain full control, we will have little recourse except to do what they say, unless we have prepared well in advance. How can a group of individuals so dictate the events of the world? Many times a government creates a crisis, then offers the solution. A solution that exchanges one more of our freedoms for some version of government-enforced safety and security. This, folks, is called wagging the dog. Our response to these crises has become conditioned. We turn to government to take care of us, and they do at the price of our liberty. When the crisis appears to be worldwide, we turn to a worldwide government, thus playing right into their hands. The prophet Hosea declared, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Hosea 4:6. This summary has been prepared to offer a basic knowledge of the methods being used to obtain control of people and nations. It is hoped that this knowledge will assist us to better uphold correct principles that support the inalienable rights given to all people by God, and oppose programs and proposals that violate these principles. It is recognized that the U.S. Constitution was divinely inspired by God for the very purpose of protecting these inalienable rights. There are several areas that these powerful men seek to control. They are listed, and a brief explanation is given of each. Government. The objective is to create a single government with power to rule all the people of the world, sometimes referred to as a new world order. All people will be ruled by the same laws, judicial system, monetary system, religious worship, and armed forces. Every president and secretary of state since Woodrow Wilson has been a member of a group which is actively pursuing the goal of obliterating national boundaries and establishing a single world government known as the Council on Foreign Relations. This group is the American branch of a society which originated in England. David Rockefeller serves as its chairman. George Bush is a past chairman, and Bill Clinton was also a member. The Shadows of Power, James Perloff, 1988. The effort to achieve this goal is aided by the media, since every major media, newspaper, radio, television, and communications network is owned by a member or associate. Free, the CFR, Trilateral Connection, 1991. At a cost of $10 million to the U.S. taxpayers, the Rockefeller Foundation has developed a new state's constitution that is intended to replace the constitution that we now have. This document does does not have a Bill of Rights, does not include the right to own firearms, and does not protect freedom of religion. It uses the term national emergency 134 times. A review and commentary on Rexford E. Tugwell's book, The Emerging Constitution, by Colonel Curtis B. Dahl and E. Stanley Rittenhouse. Listed here are a series of executive orders already approved which authorize the president to call a national emergency and thereafter authorize the Federal Emergency Management Agency to mobilize other agencies to implement rationing and or confiscation of public and private property, including food, guns, precious metals, businesses, homes, etc. Let's see, EO 10995 provides for the takeover of the communications media. EO 10997 provides for the takeover of all electrical power, petroleum, gas, and other fuels and minerals. EO 10998 provides for the takeover of all food resources and the nation's farms. EO 10999 provides for the takeover of all modes of transportation, control of highways, seaports, etc. EO 11000 provides for mobilization of all civilians into work brigades under government supervision. EO 11001 provides for government takeover of all health and welfare functions. EO 11002 designates the Postmaster General to operate national registration of all persons. EO 11003 provides for the government to take over airports and aircraft. EO 11004 provides for the Housing and Finance Authority to relocate communities, designate areas to be abandoned, and establish new locations for populations. EO 11005 provides for the government to take over railroads, inland waterways, and public storage facilities. Folks, it's very interesting what I also received in this packet is actually a map. And the map contains a lot of the heads of these departments, U.S. Arms Control and Department Agency, or Disarmament Agency, excuse me, U.S. Arms Control and Disarmament Agency, gives you the names of General Counsel, General Advisory Counsel, Negotiator on Strategic Defense Arms, Defense and Space, Federal Judicial Center, the Director, I mean, the Chemical Bank, Citicorp, Chase Manhattan Corp, First City Bank Corp, Morgan Guarantee, lots of different banks, Allied Supreme Commanders, these are the Military Department of Defense, Chiefs of Staff, the media, CBS, ABC, NBC, Time, Dow Jones, Newsweek, Associated Press, an incredible map here, the CFR, Trilateral New World Order Connection, indicates membership in the Council of Foreign Relations, etc., etc. It's just something else. I mean, if you guys contact this gent, you could go through this stuff and really take a really strong look at you know, their slant. And here to send for the map is a address. If you got your pen ready, it is $25. Let's see, 100 copies for $25, 50 copies for $15, 25 for $10. State quantity wanted when larger contributions are made. And it's also on the back. He's got more. Where have we gone astray? United States declared bankruptcy in 1933. I mean, a lot of stuff here that we don't have a whole lot of time to cover today, but we will get into that again next week. The name of this organization is the Fund to Restore an Educated Electorate, P.O. Box 33339, Kerrville, K-E-R-R-V-I-L-L-E, of all places, Texas, 78029. So there's obviously a conglomerate of things here to take a look at, and we'll continue looking at some of them next week and wrap it up. So let's continue with what the brother says here in this last article. All these executive orders were combined into one executive order, 11490. Now the EOs I gave you, all the numbers, executive orders, were all combined into EO 11490, which was signed by President Richard Nixon on October 28, 1969. On September 26, 1961, Congress passed Public Law 87-297, which calls for arms control and the disarmament of the American people at the determination of the president. Legislation which has recently been signed into law and legislation now pending in Congress is moving toward the completion of this goal. On April 2, 1992, the U.S. Senate voted unanimously for SB 1425, which ratified the International Convention on Civil and Political Rights. This placed the Human Rights Clause of the United Nations Charter in a superior position to our Constitutional Bill of Rights, since the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled in Missouri versus Holland that a treaty supersedes the Constitution. The acceptance of this treaty places judgment of American citizens under the umbrella of the United Nations and the world courts, where trials are not by a jury of our peers and judgments are not based on the inalienable rights given to us by God and protected by the U.S. Constitution. Monetary, the second area that will be taken over by this New World Order. A single currency, a single monetary policy, and a single authority issuing the currency and directing the monetary policy. A quote from Foreign Affairs, Fall 1984, Richard Cooper. In 1913, the U.S. Congress, in violation of the Constitution, turned control of the monetary system of the United States over to a privately owned organization of 12 individuals, 11 of whom are not citizens of the United States, misleadingly called the Federal Reserve. This group manipulates the money supply and controls the debt of nations. This gives them the wealth and power to dictate the economic conditions of the world. This from Secrets of the Federal Reserve by Eustace Mullins. A plan has been advanced by these men and their international partners to bring all nations under a single rule, with themselves in charge, by creating economic crises and the collapse of a nation's economy. They force those nations in debt to them to trade their assets, gold, natural resources, and land, for the backing of the International Monetary Fund, which they created and control. Once they own a nation's land and resources, they own and control that nation. That from Ambushed, Insider Report, Larry Abraham, page 12. They have made much progress toward this goal. already every nation in the world is backed by the International Monetary Fund except the United States. Brazil, Argentina, Costa Rica, and other countries have been forced to trade assets and land to exonerate their debt. The specific plan to bring the U.S. under this monolithic control includes economic disruption, the collapse of more banks, and national bankruptcy. Folks, just to break in here, we are at, I believe, $8 trillion in national debt. And the media continues to tell us that we gotta have this and we gotta have that, the latest and greatest. And Americans believe that you can get rich by spending more money. That you can have a rich lifestyle by racking up your credit cards. You don't get rich by spending money, folks. Okay? They believe under these conditions, most Americans will clamor for the help they offer, willingly trading our nation's land and resources for the backing of the International Monetary Fund to bail us out of our predicament. Their stated deadline to accomplish this goal is the year 2000. Many close observers believe it will take place much sooner. That also is from Ambushed Insider Report, Larry Abraham, page 12. Another method of obtaining control of a nation and its lands is being accomplished in the United States with the help of the environmentalists. Wilderness areas are set aside, transferred to the Nature Conservancy, and then to the Federal Reserve, placing those lands under the direct control of these same individuals. That also comes from Ambushed. It is worth noting that the European countries recently met in the Netherlands and agreed to a single currency for all of Europe. Now, most recently, I've heard about the Netherlands, and that is that there is a, I believe it was, let's see, what was his name, Bob Duco, out of Detroit. Now, this was on some of his previous shows, The Best of Bob Duco, spoke of a political party in the Netherlands that is basically pedophiles. And they want to reduce, and they call themselves Liberty, Freedom, something or other. I can't remember exactly what it is. But they want to reduce the legal age to have intercourse to 12 years old. And from there, that's just a stepping stone. They want to get rid of it. Basically, they just want to say, look, it's an alternate lifestyle to, you know, be a pedophile. So, how strange that this this group here is also tied into the Netherlands, isn't it? I don't necessarily think that in the spirit that's a coincidence. Okay, the third area that is spoken of that they're going to take over is the military. The plan is to control the armed forces of the world. The world has been divided into 10 regions. A country may do whatever it chooses within the confines of that region, but if it oversteps its bounds, it will be disciplined by the United Nations with armed forces, economic forces, and judicial forces. Prior to the conflict in Kuwait, a meeting was held to discuss the possibilities of a country that the combined forces of the United Nations could seize upon in the name of humanity to stamp out oppression and to show the strength of a world army. In early 1990, the American ambassador to Iraq, April Glaspie, quote, had assured Saddam Hussein directly that the United States would take no action if he decided to invade Kuwait. End quote. it was agreed to cause another war similar in scale to the Iraqi war within 5 years, to keep the armed forces in focus and to remind the countries of the world of the power of the coalition forces. That from minutes of Bilderberger meeting. Baden-Baden, Germany, August 1991, reported by James P. Tucker, Jr. As preparation for war was being made, Congress signed a treaty with the United Nations, making George Bush the commander-in-chief of the coalition forces. Because the Supreme Court has ruled that a treaty takes precedence over the Constitution, this treaty gave the president the power to declare war without meeting the constitutional requirement of approval by Congress. This allows the president to unilaterally commit U.S. armed forces to United Nations wars all over the world. Isn't that interesting? The fourth area, judicial. The purpose is to place the world under a single judicial review to administer, quote, justice to the world. The world court has no juries and is not bound by the individual rights protected by the U.S. Constitution. It will judge for, quote, atrocities against the world. Since the U.S. Supreme Court has erroneously ruled in Missouri versus Holland that treaties supersede the Constitution, every treaty the U.S. signs with the United Nations places interpretation and judgment in the jurisdiction of the World Court. The covenants on political and civil rights, numerous environmental treaties, trade agreements, and other treaties have expanded jurisdiction to include economic, political, and environmental, quote, crimes. Proposed treaties such as the UN Covenant on the Rights of the Child would expand the scope of that control to the very core of our society, the family. That coming from Global Tyranny, Step by Step, William Jasper. I find this a very interesting read. The fifth area of global dominacy, religion. The plan is to establish a single humanistic religion for all the world. Christianity will be outlawed, and believers will face discrimination, persecution, and possibly elimination or imprisonment. There will be a new religion. First, the worship of man, humanism, and then Satanism. And everyone will either accept the new religion or depart from that society. That coming from the New World Order, Ralph A. Epperson, 1990, page 20. Cults have been so discredited by the actions of some that few people question when a cult is verbally or even physically attacked by government. It is notable that those who are seeking to take control have redefined it to suit their purposes. Their definition is anyone or any group which believes in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that Christ came back alive from the grave. That from A New Look at the New World Order, Kimber audio tape. This definition will justify ostracism of Christians while encouraging the growth of humanistic, occultic, and Satanistic religions. The core of the leaders of the secret society belong to an occult religion called the Illuminati. All organized witchcraft and all occult brotherhoods belong to it. The occult is the religion of the organization, not the organization itself. It is Luciferian in nature. That from the Illuminati, Myron C. Fagan. The Illuminati uses a variety of tools. A few are discussed below. Sorcery. In the New Testament, John uses the word sorcery in describing modern-day Babylon and the tools of the beast. The Greek word he uses is pharmakeia, from which the word pharmacy is derived. And I would remind you folks that alcohol also is a drug, and witchcraft originated by mind-expanding drugs. And you can buy alcohol on almost any corner in this country. Okay? Pharmakeia indicates the use of drugs, elixirs, and contraceptive potions associated with the occult. When freely accepted, these narcotics addict, desensitize, and deceive the nations, resulting in blindness and the inability to change. The use of drugs, simple and potent, is the same means by which the mother of abominations is able to deceive the nations. Opening, that coming from Opening the Seven Seals, Richard D. Draper, page 109. Now what's funny is the Bible says all those who drank from her cup. Now back in ancient times, that would indicate wine. They didn't really, you know, expound on mandrake and all these other things, but wine was certainly an indication of becoming spiritually blinded. Let's keep going. Immorality, whether it be intimate relationships outside of the bonds of marriage, we're speaking of the tools of the Illuminati, okay? Sorcery, the second one, immorality. Whether it be intimate relationships outside of the bonds of marriage or pornography, abortion, prostitution, homosexuality, or any other form, immorality breaks down the character and fiber of an individual and destroys the foundation upon which freedom is based. Now, I know that I have definitely heard that this country will be destroyed, but not from the outside, from the inside. I can't remember which man stated that, but it was sometime during the beginning of this country, the very early stages, because you cannot have absolute freedom. You cannot give people absolute freedom. That's why when the Israelites and the Hebrews, when they left Egypt, they were given the law. I remember watching one of the movies where Moses was being instructed by his father-in-law, the high priest of Midian, and he told him, it is not enough just to have the law and a crack of the whip. You know, these people for 400 years have been used to the crack of the whip. They needed the whip. You know, they come out of there. I mean, they lost all concept of how to do anything else. Who was going to teach them? Their father, their grandfather, their great-great-grandfather? No, they lost it. You know, they were rebellious to begin with. Stiff-necked, you know. So they're out there, and now they have a law. But you have to want to obey the law. God gives us commandments, but he doesn't bend our backs and whip us into doing them. You have to choose God. So here is where the foundation comes from. This man who says that you cannot have freedom like this country has freedom and expect that it's going to stay around long, because absolute freedom absolutely corrupts. idolatry, the third tool mentioned here as a tool of the Illuminati. The New World Order is seeking to establish a unified religion with generic beliefs devoid of morals. This leads to idolatry, or the worship of something other than God. The sixth place that Brother Gregory Anderson mentions that the New World Order will try to take over, or is trying to take over, is the physical. The objective, as stated by one of their main spokesmen, Henry Kissinger, is to take control of food and oil. By controlling oil, they control the militaries of the nations of the world. By controlling food, they can control individuals. That coming from Christ versus Satan, Oliver DeMille, page 12. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has promoted monopoly of medicines by certain very wealthy men. The recent proposals to require vitamins to be sold only with a prescription would extend that reach. Current popular proposals to restrict access to health care without government control would go far to achieve this goal. Stiff penalties, including jail terms, for anyone who seeks or provides health care outside the government system are an integral part of the plan. Global 2000 report, written by former Secretary of State Cyrus Vance, declares that the world needs to be depopulated by means of limited wars in the advanced countries and by means of starvation and disease in the third world countries. The death of 3 billion people, described as useless eaters, by the year 2000. This report was accepted and approved for action by President Carter for and on behalf of the United States government, and accepted by Edwin Muskie, then Secretary of State, under the terms of the Global 2000 report. The population of the United States is to be reduced by 100 million by the year 2050. That coming from Conspirators Hierarchy, Dr. J. Coleman, page 22. These matters are serious. We can only prepare for them if we know about them. And once we know about them, we are obligated to act. A man must not only stand for the right principles, he must also fight for them. Those who fight for principle can be proud of the friends they've gained and the enemies they've earned. We face days ahead that will test the moral and physical sinews of all of us. Those who hesitate to get into this fight because it is controversial fail to realize that life's decisions should be based on principles, not on polls. That coming from Ezra Taft Benson, Secretary of Agriculture, Eisenhower administration. We all need to learn the truth. It is truth that makes us free. May God grant us the wisdom and desire to search deeper and learn more, and the foresight to prepare without fear. This article is distributed by permission from the original distributor. Redistributed by TVF Outreach, P.O. Box 42002, Las Vegas, Nevada 89116. Well, that was a very meaty portion of the articles from this brother who obviously has compiled a great deal of information that he keeps up with and he redistributes. to those of us who are interested in listening to the slant. And I call it slant because I have seen and heard many things that I don't necessarily, disagree with. But at the same time, there's so many different ways of looking at these things that I try to mention that there are a lot of different ways people see these things, and a lot of them add up, you know, and have credibility because of that. So we have to give them voice when they have something that is this powerful, that is this this different. We have to give them voice and hear what they have to say. Now, a lot of this that is going on, you know, with the church and politics and everything else, we got to remember that spirits don't die. Now, when spirits are cast down here, okay, like they were in Noah's time, it says that they took bodies for themselves. Now, nowhere in Scripture does it support a spirit creating a body except for the birth of Jesus Christ, which, of course, that would be creator power. Okay, now only the creator has the ability to create. That's why he's known as the creator. However, it is verified in Scripture that demons that are cast here to the earth have occupied bodies of people through possession. So it would stand to reason that these demons, when they were cast down here in the days of Noah, who took bodies for themselves. Now remember, this is a very ancient document here. This is a very ancient type of language. So when they say took bodies for themselves, you have to verify that with Scripture. What that probably means is they possessed individuals. So I don't know how many places actual demon possession is mentioned in the Old Testament, but I do know that there are several places in the New Testament where it's mentioned, and it is called in Greek demon possession. So perhaps I would strongly support that demons taking bodies for themselves was actually the possession of humans, because we know that God himself is the creator. Okay? I've heard other people, other slants, as I say, tell us that, well, you know, that's what these alien beings are. You know, that's what, you know, the whole alien ploy is. And I've heard that slant, and you know what? Hey, maybe so. I'll find out when we're sitting there at the supper with the feast. Okay, I'll ask the Lord what all this was about. But right now, scripturally speaking, the Bible supports that demons can possess people, but nowhere else does the Bible support that they created bodies for themselves. I haven't looked into the actual Hebrew words and everything else like that, but I would imagine that if they had created bodies for themselves, the Bible would have said they created bodies for themselves, okay, even in that ancient language, or the holy language as it's known as. So, my point being that if spirits don't die, then after the flood, you still have Satan and all his spirits hanging out here, waiting to do the same thing they did back then, to possess bodies or themselves. And throughout time, we have to look at what God's plan is, and the fact that the devil knows it, okay? The devil knows what's going on. Okay, he knew who Jesus Christ was. Okay, he tempted Christ. If you are the Son of God, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he knew. So, let's look at all these different slants as being true at a minimum in a spiritual, okay, in a spiritual sense. So next week we're going to take a look at America's Masonic roots, and then from there we'll be going into some of the trilateral New World Order connections, discussing what people are responsible for keeping the commandments of God, why are the preachers silent, and we're going to take a look at all the congressmen men, also the executive orders for the New World Order, and we're going to take a quick look at an article on the Waco massacre, and we're going to probe what, quote, experts behind Waco, okay, did the Cult Awareness Network and the ADL sucker the feds into April 19th massacre. So we got a lot of New World Order stuff to look at next week, which ought to be just as interesting as this week. And with that, we'll go ahead and close with a little bit more than Good News Blues. And what do you think of today's article there, Pilgrim?
Hey, did you want to take calls or not?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Any calls? Any calls coming in?
All right. Well, that number is 702-293-5224. We have a few minutes to get in some calls. I don't know if JT's willing to go past the hour. If we run a little past, it's okay with me, though. But, yeah, it's all good stuff, JT. Yeah, this is our enemy we're talking about, and it's good to know thy enemy.
You know what? What's real sad is that mm-hmm. there's so many people out there who are being puppets, and they don't know it. You know?
Well, that's so. And, you know, we had a program just earlier than yours. We're going to play it again right after we get done here with you. But she claims, and I've heard this in more than one place, actually there's more and more people coming forward with this claim, that almost all of our churches nowadays, especially those that seem to have some kind of power of God manifest in them, are all infiltrated by the enemy. And these New World Order crowd are actively pursuing those that have the Holy Spirit and have the gift of God, that they may be found out and put on their hit lists and so forth. Because it is the ones that have the power of the Holy Spirit that are going to be their enemy. They're not worried about Christians who call upon the name of Jesus who had no power in their life. They're not worried about those people. They're worried about the people who actually are manifesting sons of God in the earth today, who have the power to give this New World Order crowd some grief, and to thwart Satan's plans in the earth. This is what they're concerned about. So they are actively out seeking. So they're in these churches out here. So you know, it doesn't surprise me.
Well, we're going to discuss those organizations next week,
mm-hmm.
and that's part of what we're going to cover is more not just the spiritual slant, like we primarily did today, but we're going to discuss more about the Illuminati, the Masonic roots, and. Actually, the Waco massacre, and some of the organizations. One of them is the Cult Awareness Network.
Right.
And how they keep tabs. There's organizations out there. I mean, the government is like a network.
Yeah.
And a network is like a cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that's why it's so important when you're doing business to network, because once you get it out, it's just like the same way Christ did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came down and boom, he concentrated in a 300-mile area.
Yeah,
he didn't have to do anything else because Jerusalem is the center of the planet.
Right.
No, Israel is the center of the planet. Geographically, if you add up all the land mass and you had Pangea again and you measured the whole thing, the very middle of it would be Israel. So, I mean, he stayed within this, you know, geographic because all eyes have always been on Israel. And he let the network do its job. So, I mean, it's really a cancer the way that the government is. I mean, they're all tied in together, and it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse with the technology. But they're thinking it's getting better and better and better and better.
Right.
Pretty, you know, by our own power, we're going to have peace. And you know, they're doing it in the name of peace. But Christ said, I didn't come here, you know, to bring peace, but a sword. He said, you know. So here, this world government is doing it under the guise of peace.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way that you can have ultimate control is if you say, well, look, you know, these Islamists and stuff, you know, they're not, going with the flow.
Right.
We gotta invent a way to get in there and wipe them out.
Yep.
And get, you know, our thumb on them and stuff like that. And, it's funny that the Islamists are calling the United States the Great Satan.
Yep.
And here it's because of our lack of morality,
mm-hmm.
our immorality, but you know our worship of material, and I mean you name it, you know it's like the great Satan over here, and we're all thinking that we're righteous,
right?
And all our over here is just a golden cage,
yeah.
You know, other areas of the world, the cage is wood or iron or clay, but over here it's a golden cage, and people don't recognize that. You know, there's only two that you can choose from, God said. You know, the Lord said. And one is God, the other one is mammon. And mammon is money, which is strange. You know, it's not just money, but you look at, okay, well, how does Satan equate with money? Well, it's the love of money. It's the greed, it's the lust, it's all that, it's power, and that's ultimately what the New World Order is about. And, you know, people are pursuing dominating the world under the name of peace when the truth is they want it for themselves.
Yeah, it's anything but peace.
Yeah, that's Satan.
Yeah.
Satan wants the world, you know?
Right.
So he who's a friend with the world is an enemy, mm-hmm. God. And it literally, the Bible says, is at enmity, which means active hostility
right.
to God. I mean, you might as well spit in his face.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yep. It's not what it's about, you know. The king of this world is Satan. And, you know, that's going to change.
Yeah, he's also called the prince of the power of the air.
Right.
Which means he's been given rule and dominion over not only the earth, but all around the earth,
right.
You know, as far as being able to control the affairs of those who live with his lies, he does not have any power over the sons of God,
right?
But anyone who believes his lies, he has power over them.
But look at this: if he's the prince of the powers in the air,
mm-hmm.
what is in the air? What kind of powers are in the air? How about satellites?
Yeah.
What I'm saying?
Yeah.
These are powerful things. I mean, one satellite can cover an entire segment of the globe, nations, and are all under the influence of this power
mm-hmm.
by watching television. Who was it that said that all you really have to do is put something on television, and it can be as ridiculous as you want, but if you play it long enough, people will begin to believe it. Simple as that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. It's the brain box, you know. You just plug it in, and there goes your brain, you know.
Yeah,
I don't watch, because I get glued to it, and I recognize this early on, you know.
It's hypnosis.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I was fortunate, because one of the main aspects of getting me saved was John Hagee, when I was flipping through channels, and even, I mean, the Lord knew who I was before I did, and even as a worldly individual, I hated television. I hated it because it was junk. Always junk, junk, junk. Bad news. The names would change, and that's it. And I was flipping through the channels, junk, while I was in the world, man of the world. And lo and behold, all of a sudden I realized that I had been sitting motionless for 15 minutes watching John Hagee. And I stood up off the couch, you know, and he was pointing his finger in the camera.
Oh, yeah.
And he was talking to me. I have no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
I swear he could have probably, he must have seen me.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But I stood up, I turned off the TV, and I walked around, and that's when the Holy Spirit started coming close to my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And there were several events that took place. You know, where I had woken up and I was in my house. I wasn't sure what happened, but I had just felt that the presence of deity had left the place, and I could still feel the after effects.
Hmm.
You know, like I had my life had been spared. I was sure it was. I wasn't sure if I'd killed anybody or ran anybody over or what. But I mean, when I was glued to that television, I realized that man was speaking the truth, and I was hearing it. And now I know in hindsight that's because I've got the ears to hear.
Yeah.
And I've been a truth seeker, you know, ever since and the Lord's touched me. And that's ultimately what sets us free. And we have to see with spiritual eyes. We have to hear with spiritual ears. We have to feel with His Spirit. And we have to humble ourselves, you know, just as John the Baptist said, you know, before Christ came, he preached, humble yourself, repent from your sins, and be baptized. Now, I spoke earlier about the symbols of the Spirit. This is one of the things that the Lord showed me earlier. The symbols of the Spirit have commonly been known as a water and oil. You know, a person would be anointed with oil, you know, in the Old Testament. This is the same, you know, as when Christ was anointed with the Holy Spirit. He no longer anoints with oil, but with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that living, you know, rivers of living water will come forth from your belly.
Right.
Or your core.
Mm-hmm.
Core of a man. In Greek, you know, it's been translated to heart, but actually it was originally called core, and they would hold their stomachs when they said the word, you know. In King James, it might say cut to the heart, but in Greek, it actually means to the core, and they would hold their hands over the stomach,
uh-huh.
Which also in the occult is supposed to be the entryway of spirits. So here I'm looking at what the Lord said when he said, whoever drinks my blood and eats my flesh shall make it to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
We look at the Lord as we look at the top of the temple. Not the temple, excuse me, the tabernacle, the original tent, okay, that God had him going through the wilderness with. And we look down, and we can see the image of the Lord. His feet, at the feet, is the brazen altar, the first altar. You got the three gates, the way, the truth, and the life. And as you work your way up, at the knees is the basin, you know, that they're washed in. And then you enter in, and then the left hand are the 12 loaves, or the showbread. This is the 12 doctrines in the New Testament. In the right hand, you've got the menorah, which is the 7 candles, which are in the right hand, as is spoken of in Revelation. So, and then when you get to the Holy of Holies, it's His face. Okay, He says, seek my face. This is where the Holy Spirit comes down on the mercy seat, the wings of the angels that cover up the ark, covering the law, keeping us away from the law. That's mercy. Okay? So, here we look on the right hand as the focus. Now, the right hand are the 7 spirits of the church, is also commonly known as, you know, the Holy Spirit. So here he says, whoever eats of my flesh, which we know as bread, and drinks of my blood. Now, wait a minute. We know that the flesh is represented as bread, which would be the left hand. Are you with me?
Sort of.
Okay. We're looking down.
This is a little different, but go ahead.
We're looking down at the top of the tabernacle.
Yeah.
Okay? With the Holy of Holies at the face of the Lord. And as you work your way down the body, the left hand here is the bread, the show bread.
Mm-hmm.
And the right hand is the 12, or excuse me, is the 7 candles.
You're cutting out quite a bit because of the phone you're on.
Oh, okay.
You do okay when you're speaking, but when I'm in here, we're losing a lot of your speech. Can you switch over to handsets directly?
Yeah, here we go. Is that better?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. Now on the right hand side are the seven candles. Okay, which is the menorah, which are the seven churches, as is spoken in Revelation. In his right hand, there's the seven, you know, the seven lamps or the seven candles, which are the seven churches. The angel's telling John. Now, here on the left-hand side, you've got bread, which is a representation of the body of Christ. We eat the bread. Now, the lamps, or the oil, which is a signification of the Holy Spirit, which is also signified as water in other areas of the Scriptures. Now, where's the blood? And this is what I propose, that the blood, okay, is also a representation of the Holy Spirit. And this is why. When he was stabbed in the side on the cross, what came forth?
Water and the blood.
And water.
Yeah.
Water mingled with blood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, we know that the Holy Spirit has been represented in two different ways, which one is oil, the other one is water in the Scriptures. But I would seriously take a look at blood as well, because the blood was mingled with the water.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see where Christ says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood. Now, the flesh, or the bread, okay, is also the Scriptures. And we're told to search the Scriptures. But we're also told to receive the Holy Spirit. Are we not? And the Holy Spirit, which is the right hand, which is the lamps, would also be the blood. So here we have the bread on one side and the Holy Spirit on the other, which is the representation of the blood and the flesh. So here on the right-hand side, the menorah, also the Holy Spirit is represented as the blood of Christ, because on the side you've got the blood and the water, which are mingled. It says it's mixed. And here is what's interesting, is how did a holy God, now this guy's kind of touching on it with this whole cloning thing, right? How did God come down here as a man and perform a sacrifice, which normally was used animals for sin, but this, it had to be the high priest, a perfect sacrifice, okay? And you had to have perfect blood. Now, once Christ was whipped and everything else, and the blood was all spilt out, okay, as a sacrifice for us, then he was quickened, the Bible says, in the Spirit, which, and as Christ would say, glorified, okay, which means, now the Bible refers to him emptying himself, but then being glorified or quickened by God, which would be to receive that resurrection power, that Holy Spirit power, which we have to be born again, just as he was, born again, firstborn of the dead, because we were dead in our sins, and here we receive the Holy Spirit that he gave us, and we're born again. This is a blood cleansing power. This is new blood.
Yes.
So here is what he does, is he is born of blood, of man's blood, and firstborn of the dead with the Spirit, or glorified. So here the blood is represented when he says, you must eat my flesh. That means we must read the Scriptures. We must get in there and eat those 12 showbreads, okay, which are in the left hand. The 12 showbreads, these are the works of the Lord. Left hand represents works. In the right hand, we're also told to receive the Spirit. And in the right hand is the menorah, and we are led by the Spirit. You see that? And this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a new blood, because in the blood is the life, correct? And whereas we were dead, now we live. So essentially, the blood is also a representation of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that?
Is this a diagram that this man came up with or something? Or?
No, that's something the Lord showed me today.
That's something the Lord showed you today, huh?
Yep.
Looking down at the temple.
At the temple. No, I've seen that from another man. But it's the blood
Oh.
Being represented by the Spirit.
No, I mean, I mean the deal where you're analyzing the body of Jesus. You know, the, his right and left hand, his face, and that. Was that a diagram that somebody had that you saw, or?
That is a teaching that I saw from Perry Stone.
Oh, okay.
When he was under an anointing, the Lord showed him this and showed him how, you know, they go through a process. You'll hear in what Isaiah or Revelation about how the feet of the Lord were like a brazen altar, and in his right hand were seven candles. If you look down from heaven's eye at the original tabernacle or the temple, you know, the temple was a mock of the original tabernacle, you can see that it would be the Lord laying down basically on the tabernacle. The entryway is at the feet, and that's where the brazen altar was. That's where the sacrificial altar was. And as you continue up to the knees, you have the big basin that they washed in.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be a signification of, you know, the level of it would be a water baptism, basically the level of the Jordan. And as you continue into the temple, as you look down from heaven's eyes, on our left would be the menorah on the left hand side of the temple.
Yeah.
Which if the Lord was laying down on his back, it would be in his right hand.
Yeah. Right.
And on his left hand, which would be our right, as we look down, will be the loaves, the 12 showbread loaves.
Right. I just never seen this diagram before. That's why I'm asking you. So I can see that.
And as God says to seek my face, as you continue into the Holy of Holies, that's where the face of the man laying, you know, down in the temple diagram. So. And here, you know, also you've got the three tribes in each of the areas, each of the sides, you know, the four different directions, which would form a cross. And as you look down, and also, you know, you've got the four personages of the Lord, you know, the eagle, the ox, the man, and what's the one I'm forgetting? The eagle, the ox,
the lion.
The man and the lion. There you are. That's the final stage which he will come at. So it's really something else though. But
so the Lord just showed you about the bread or the word in one hand and the spirit in the other. Then
correct.
That's what you're saying. The Lord showed you today on that.
Correct. The word is the bread. Okay, because there was 12 pieces of bread. And there's also 12 doctrines that are taught in the New Testament that Christ spoke about, and the four Gospels. The four Gospels are the entire New Testament, one of the two. But the thing about it is, if the bread is a representation of the flesh of Christ, then when he says, and drink my blood, okay, wait a minute. What is the representation of the blood? It's got to be his other hand, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Because he says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the flesh of Christ is represented as the bread, which is also a reference to the Scriptures. And the blood of Christ is represented by the right hand, the menorah, or the Holy Spirit, also the water coming forth from you is living water. So here you can see the representation of living water, also the life being in the blood, and the flesh and the blood both being the 12 loaves and the Holy Spirit. Because in order to the things that we're instructed to do is be born again, and you can't do that without the Spirit.
That's right.
And that is the blood.
Well, being born again is being born of the Spirit.
Correct.
That's what it means. So, you know, without the Spirit, you're not born again.
Right. You have to receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which is the same as the representation.
Yeah.
Right.
Most people don't know what that is, though.
Right.
They don't know what that means, and until it happens to you, you really don't understand what it is. that's really the truth of the matter is, you know, it's an experiential thing.
Right. but also we're still flesh down here, and we need to renew our minds with the Word, which is the New Testament, the 12 doctrines. I've got the 12 major New Testament doctrines here. What, do you got company?
Apparently so. Just keep on talking for a couple minutes.
Right. Well, the 12 major New Testament doctrines, number one is salvation. That's in Acts 2, verse 21. Number two is justification, Romans 5, 9. Number three is regeneration, Titus 3, 5. Number four is sanctification, 1 Corinthians 6, 11. Number five is baptism, Hebrews 6, 2. Number six, the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 30. Number seven is the church, or the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, 2. Number eight is the laying on of hands, Hebrews 6, 2. Also in that chapter and verse is number nine, the resurrection of the dead. Number 10, the doctrine of judgment. And number 11, eternal life, is found in Matthew 25. Number 12 of the 12 major New Testament doctrines is eternal punishment, also found in Matthew 25, verse 46. So you've got 12 loaves of bread, which are in the left hand then of the Lord. And the left hand would be a representation of works versus administration, which would be in the right hand. So the works, what we're to do is to renew our mind with the Word of God, which is here, which is eating of the bread, okay, which is the body, he says, which is broken for you. So here we're participating in the body of Christ. We're not neglecting to bring ourselves together. When we eat this bread, the body of Christ is us. It's who we are. We are coming together. We're renewing our minds with the truth that is found in the Word. We are eating this bread. We are partaking of the body of Christ. That is a requirement. Whoever eats my flesh, Jesus says. Okay? Now, he also says, and drinks my blood. Okay? This doesn't just mean that we go up and we eat the bread and the wine, and it's all good. Okay, what it means is this. Okay, don't think that eating a piece of bread and drinking a little sippy cup of wine is going to get you salvation. That's got nothing to do with it. Dunking yourself in a bathtub of water has nothing to do with salvation. That's obedience. Those are signs, folks. Okay, signs. What the true drinking of the blood is the receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Holy Spirit which is in his right hand. Certainly, if the body is the bread which is in the left side, the left hand, as you're looking down at the temple and the Lord laying there, then certainly the blood is the right hand, which is the menorah, which is the Holy Spirit. Which makes perfect sense. Because he was conceived by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, okay? And brought up as a man, all his blood spilled out, performing the sacrifice. He was quickened, resurrected, raised again, and given life by the Holy Spirit. Now, if the life was drained out of him, and he was quickened in the Spirit, now, the life being in the blood, and he was quickened in the Spirit, then that means that the Spirit is the true blood of Christ. You understand? We got it. Okay. So what we need to partake in is the flesh and the blood, or the bread and the wine. Okay? Now, remember in Scriptures when it says, do not hurt the oil and the wine. Okay, this oil, water, you know, turning water into wine, the blood being related to the wine, you know, this is all got to do with that. You know, these different representations. Jesus spoke of the same things in many different ways. And here is one facet that we can see that the blood of Jesus Christ that we partake in is certainly the Holy Spirit. Because we have to be born again to be saved. And you can't be born again unless you receive the Spirit of God, which is the blood of Christ. The only other thing that he says that you have to have, and these are the words in red, folks, is the flesh. His flesh, which is the bread, which are the 12 loaves, which are the 12 doctrines in the New Testament. The words in red. We need to read the words of Christ, have our minds renewed, and also receive the Holy Spirit. So that, folks, is the bread and the wine, or the flesh and the blood. Do we got it, Pilgrim? Next week, we're going to take a look at some executive orders for the New World Order, what you should know. We're going to take a look at America's Masonic roots, Masonic roots, and all the congressmen's men, how Capitol Hill controls the press. And we're going to take a look and probe into the Waco massacre.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good, JT. We're going to close out with a little bit of that good news blues. And then we're going to get on with something different.